Turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 116. Psalm 116, we'll be reading a couple of verses of Psalms chapter 116, verses 10 through verse 14. This morning, the Old Testament book of Psalms, chapter 116. If you found that, will you please stand in honor of reading God's Word this morning, Psalms chapter 116, verses 10 through 14. I'll read the even verses, verses 10, 12, and 14. If you'll join with me on verses 11 and 13 of Psalms chapter 116. I believe, therefore, have I spoken, I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading this morning. Lord, I pray that you prepare our hearts before the message, Lord, as the singing comes special this morning. I do pray for Brother Caleb and the church up there, Lord, this morning. Give them a great Sunday morning service. But Lord, in the service here, Lord, if there's somebody that's lost, doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, give us a great day. We'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Catchy. That's one of those songs that kind of sticks with you throughout the day. You'll find yourself singing that. That was good. I enjoyed it and enjoyed the message of it. Outstanding. Psalms 116, Psalm 116, and I overlooked a guest here this morning from out of town, Beth Ann. Raise your hand, Beth Ann. She's a friend of Brother Gellis's family, a teacher in Honduras, missionary teacher in Honduras. That's a blessing. Amen. Glad to have her with us this morning in the service, and I'm sorry for overlooking Beth Ann this morning. All right, very good. I want to speak to you on this subject and draw your attention basically to verse number 12, where the psalmist asked this question, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? That's a great question. So I want to speak this morning on this subject, avoiding consumer Christianity. Avoiding consumer Christianity. All right? Let's pray together. We'll get started. Thank you, Lord, for the good song Encouraged my heart, Lord, that good music, and it was a catchy tune, and I appreciate the practice time that goes into our special music for the folks involved in the choir and the instrumentalist. I rejoice in that. Makes for a good time in the service. And I rejoice in, Lord, the whole purpose of singing, to honor and glorify You. And to thank You, God, for this text. Now, please, open it to us this morning. Help me, I pray. I want to be the messenger. I want to be the tool in Your pouch. I want to be used. Take me in Your hand. Help me today to be a blessing and an encouragement to the people here at the church. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. And amen. Singing has long been part of the worship that God is worthy of and desires to receive. Now, I like the song the choir sang this morning, Praise Shall Be My Song. I like the song that we just heard by the group there. I love the hymn, A New Name Written in Glory. You know, folks, as far back as Exodus 15 in the Bible, we read of God's people worshiping Him with song and singing. And I've made it up, tried to make it a priority here to mention it throughout the years. You know, and sometimes it seems like the men and boys have a bigger issue with this than the ladies do. Like it's not masculine to sing. I get a kick out of the surveyors while the song service is going on. They're surveying the auditorium. Totally missing the opportunity to sing praise to God. That's not masculine. I'm not sure what that is. I'd like to tell you what I think it is, but it's really not very nice, so I'll just keep moving. But anyway, I'm not sure what those people who don't like to sing are going to do when we get to heaven. Because we're going to sing praises to God. I think everybody will pitch in. Say, I can't sing. You'll be able to then. Amen. God will heal you of that tone deafness. Amen. You'll be able to carry a part. Sure, bass, tenor, soprano, alto, baritone, you'll be able to sing praises to God. And that'll be a wonderful thing. And the truth is that this book in the Bible is a song book. Psalms means songs. And so we got a song book here in the middle of our Bible, the biggest book in the Bible, the book of Psalms. Now, beginning with Psalm 113 through Psalm 118, we have a group of songs that the Jewish people sang as a part of their worship during one of the solemn feasts that they would observe on an annual basis. This little group of psalms, is called the Hallel Psalms. That's H-A-L-L-E-L, short for Hallelujah, because they were psalms of praise. You know, the only word that is universal in meaning and language around the world is the word hallelujah. It's the only word. You go anywhere in the world, it's the same word everywhere. And these are Hallel songs, H-A-L-L, psalms, H-A-L-L-E-L, because they were psalms of praise. The priest and the people would sing or chant these psalms in a sing-song type of a tone during the feast. And they were designed in nature to offer praise to Jehovah God for all of His goodness to them as people. And when you come to Psalm 116, it's a bit more personal than some of the other Hallel Psalms. We don't know who penned the words on paper. It might have been David, we're not for sure. But you can see the personal touch right from the start. Look at verse number 1. Look at the first 4 words of this verse. I love the Lord. That's personal, isn't it? I love the Lord. I hope that's why you're at church this morning. I hope that's why you sing. I hope it's why you read your Bible. I hope it's why you, sir, I hope you do that because you love God. Amen? That's the first commandment. Above all others, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. Love God. And so the psalmist here, he said, I love the Lord. Now, I'm not going to go verse by verse this morning. There is one verse. There's one question I want to dwell on this morning. I'll mention a couple of other verses in passing. But this question that the psalmist, that they would sing this as a part of their worship in that feast. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? And some of those benefits had been mentioned in the previous verses. I won't take the time to break them down. But in verses 1 and 2, he's rejoicing because he says, God has heard my prayer. Well, I'm glad God can hear prayer. Amen. I'm glad God hears it. And in verses 3 and 4, he's rejoicing because not only had God heard his prayer, God had answered his prayer. That's one thing to hear it. It's something altogether different to answer it. And God had answered his prayer. In verse number 5, the psalmist was praising the Lord because God had been gracious and merciful to him. And the truth of the matter is, he's been the same to us. And in verse number 6, he said he was praising the Lord because God had helped him. Look at the last phrase, "and he helped me." And in verse number 7, he's rejoicing because God had dealt bountifully with him. And the truth of the matter is, God has dealt bountifully with each of us. And then you get to verse number 8, and it says, God had delivered his soul from death. And God has done that for you and me over and over. So he lists all these things. After all these meditations, after the thinking on all these blessings, if I could use this word, all these benefits of his relationship with Jehovah God, he comes and he asks the question then, what can I render for all those benefits? Now, I like this brother's attitude. I like that question. You know, I'm sure as American citizens, many of us grow very weary of our fellow citizens who are always and only concerned about what they can get from the government. What can I get? What am I entitled to? They are drains on society. They never put anything back into it. They're takers, not givers. Here, listen to me now. They're consumers, not producers. Users. Consuming, not producing. Taking and not giving. And folks, and I'm not against, you know, helping people with a little help who really need it, but to always be consuming and never producing is a complete drain. And no society, no country can stand a belly full of drainers, consumers, and a very few who produce. Society won't want that. Consumers. Now, look, we don't want to be guilty of that same thing spiritually. But the truth of the matter is, there are consumer Christians. Always using up, always consuming, always taking the benefits of God without ever giving anything back. And the psalmist here didn't want to do that. He enumerated these blessings in verses 1 through 7, 8, 9 there. Talked about all the things that God had done. This benefit and that benefit and this thing and that thing and this reward and that reward. And he said, whoa, stop, time out. He said, it's time for me to stop taking. It's time for me to stop receiving. It's time for me to stop consuming and start producing. What can I render to God for all of His benefits to me? There's a couple of things that impressed me about this man's question this morning. I want to share these impressions with you, just the two of them, and we'll be done. Number one, I want to say this. I am impressed that he is wanting to give something in return. I'm impressed with that. What shall I render? I don't think anybody here has a problem understanding the word render. It means return. It means to pay back. It means to give back. So here is a man who wants to make sure he is not just a taker, but a giver. He doesn't want to be just a consumer, a user of God's goodness, a user of God's mercy, a user of God's grace, without ever producing something, giving something, paying something back. I'm impressed with that attitude. I hope that's your attitude this morning. Because you and I, friend, if you're willing to admit it or not, we are recipients of all the same blessings that this man talked about. We are recipients of God's deliverance. We are recipients. This morning I called Brother Woodward, and I could tell right away by the sound of his voice that there was something heavy on his heart. And I said, man, are you okay? He said he choked up a little bit. And he said, I'm a little choked up. He said, but I'm not choked up sad. I'm choked up in praise to God. Because I almost had one of my daughters in the hospital all night last night. It could have been worse than a hospital visit. Ruth Ann lost control of her car coming home last night rather late from being with some friends and lost control of her car. And Brother Woodward texted me pictures where her car missed a telephone pole. She went off. You know how you get off on the gravel and you overcompensate coming back on? That's one of the most dangerous things that you have to learn how to drive, is not to just panic and overcompensate. And she overcompensated and the car went into a spin and skidded, and she missed a telephone pole by the width of a cornrow. I have pictures of it on my phone. Plowed into the field. She was about a foot from that cornrow, from that telephone pole, just the width of a cornrow. How do you remember the time you and I were up in Lamont? And I'll promise you, you'll think I'm nuts. You'll think, but I have an eyewitness. And you don't think, you know, you may think I'm nuts, but you know she's not. Okay? So that's the thing it is here. So a person came to a stop just suddenly in front of us for whatever reason, never found out. And it was either hit him or go to the right between him and the curb, and a big telephone pole there, and I'm in my Suburban, and the car, God just shrunk our vehicle, and we zipped through that opening, and both of us looked back, and there was no way on earth that Suburban would fit through that opening. Well, how did it fit? I don't know. I hadn't been eating pizza and drinking Pepsi, and I wasn't having a vision or a dream. I know this, we have a miracle working God, amen, who delivers us. So all of these things that the psalmist wrote about in Psalm 116 and praised God for, you and I should be able to echo all the things that he talked about: God's grace, God's goodness, God's deliverance, God's hearing prayer, God's answering prayer. And you know what? It would be a bad, bad thing if you and I didn't have the same attitude and spirit this brother had. I don't want to spend my life consuming, 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 taking, 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 without ever giving anything back. I want to be a producer, not just a consumer. I want to be a giver, not just a taker. That's his attitude here. There is no way on earth, I know what you're thinking, there's no way on earth we could ever completely pay back or return to God all he has given and all he has done for us. But there ought to be some desire to make an attempt. Now, here is a difficult question to answer. Knowing that we could never repay God for all of his goodness, are we confident that we are attempting to give something back to God because of all he has done for us? And I'm not talking here just about money. I think that's involved in it. But I'm talking about our life. I'm talking about the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, our level of dedication, our level of commitment, our level of consecration to a holy God. Are we confident that at least to some degree we could never completely and fully pay him back for all of his benefits? I've said before, if all God ever did for us was just save us, we couldn't pay him back for that one benefit. But are we a consumer Christian? Soaking it all up, taking it all in. Never giving. Giving back to him. I'm talking about avoiding consumer Christianity. And I don't, you know, I'm not talking just about money. I'm talking about my life. In fact, look what this writer said. Look at what he said in verse number 13. This is an amazing thing. He said he asked a question in verse number 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? And then in verse 13, immediately he said, I will take the cup of salvation. Whoa, whoa, time out. That's odd. He answers his question, what shall I give? By saying, I will take. That's a little odd, isn't it? Because we're talking about giving, and he answers this question, what shall I give? By saying, I will take. But wait a minute, folks. It really is pretty impressive when you stop and think about it. It makes complete sense. Because listen, how ungrateful it is to refuse something that God wants to give us. Think of it this way. God wants to give us salvation. In fact, he wants to give us salvation so badly that he paid for it completely. And the way He paid for it was by having to give His own only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And so He gives His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who comes to this earth, takes on the form of a man, goes to the cross, lives a sinless, perfect life, and goes to the cross, dies, is buried, and comes up out of the grave to complete salvation for all of mankind, to pay men's sin debt, to save us from the penalty of sin, which is the eternal lake of fire. To save us from the power of sin, which is oppressive and hard. And someday to save us from the presence of sin, totally remove us from sin and take us to heaven. God sent Jesus to pay the price for sin so that He could give us salvation free. He keeps us alive. He gives us every breath we take. That's biblical. Our breath comes from His hand. So He keeps us alive. He gives us every breath we take. He keeps us from accident. He keeps us from death. He puts us in a place to hear about salvation. He gives us His Spirit to work on our hearts, to draw us to Christ. God does all of this to give us salvation, and then we refuse it. We have to think about it. We have to consider if it's really for us. That's the height of ingratitude. It's the height of ingratitude. That God would go to all of that to give us free salvation. Man, God has been good to us, gracious to us, merciful to us. And one of the ways to recognize that goodness is to receive what He offers us. And friend, you say, well, I'm not even sure that I'm saved, or I know that I'm not saved. I've never trusted Christ as my Savior. And the greatest thing you can do to render praise to God for all the benefits is just to simply receive salvation. Boy, He's gone to great cost to provide it. Man. Great cost. Once in a while in the Lord's Supper service, we'll get to thinking on this whole concept. Who in this room would be willing to give their son to die for anybody? We never had any takers. But God gave His only begotten Son to free us from sin's penalty, power, and someday sin's presence. And we have to think about it? Ponder it? I'll tell you something, man. If God's kept you alive and brought you to the place of salvation and hit you right square in the face with the gospel presentation, and you realize the truth of it and you feel the slightest little desire to trust Christ as your Savior, honor God by taking it. And you take it. Look, I read a story, and I probably have used this story before. That in 1830, there was a man named George Wilson. He was convicted of robbing the U.S. mail from the U.S. mail. And he was sentenced to be hanged. And his friends went to bat for him and beseeched President Andrew Jackson to give George a pardon. And the president did. He wrote out a pardon and signed it, but Wilson refused to accept the pardon. And people said, he's free. You can't hang him. The pardon's been written. And other people said, no, he's refused it. It's no good unless he takes it. And the case went all the way to Chief Justice of the Supreme Court Marshall, who made a decision, said this: if the pardon is refused, it is no pardon. George Wilson must be hanged. And here's salvation, friend. And it's offered that frees you from sin's penalty, sin's power, and sin's presence. It is a wonderful pardon. God went to great expense and cost to make it available. You say, well, what can I do to pay God back? Receive it. Trust Christ. You receive Christ just the exact same way as it said here. Look at it said in verse number 13. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. You get saved just like He said right here. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Look, George Wilson died earlier than he had to. He disrespected, despised, and disregarded the love and effort of his friends. God has been good to you. Why would you not take salvation? Why act as though you need to think it over or consider it Or is it really what I want? God has made it available. Take it. And take it by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look what he said. Look what that's not all. Look what he said in verse number 14. So he asked the question, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Then verse 13 says, well, the first thing I'll do is I'll get saved. I'll take the cup of salvation. Then number 14, he says, after that, I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. I understand this is Old Testament. I understand he's talking about Judaism here. I understand all that. But here is the principle. Here is the principle for the New Testament day and age. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. He said, I'm going to make God some promises, and I'm going to make good on those promises. What have you promised God? What have you promised God? You say, well, I'm not for one for making promises. Excuse me, you promised to pay the bank for your home. And you promised to pay the bank for your car. And you took a credit card out and promised to pay the credit card company for everything you put on that credit card at the end of the month. So don't say you don't want to make any promises. Okay? People make promises all the time. What are you promising God? Have you made any promises to God? This is part of the benefit. This is part of rendering back to God for all of his benefits. Have you made any promises to God concerning your devotion time, your Bible reading, and prayer life? God, I want to be faithful to it. This is one way I'm going to render back to you for all the benefits that you've given to me. I want to spend some time in your word and some time talking to you. Have you made God any promises about church attendance? Lord, I want to be there when the doors are open. I want to be in the service. I want to hear the Bible preaching. I want to enjoy the singing. I want to enjoy the fellowship. Have you made God any promises about your giving? Have you made God any promises about your witnessing? Have you made God any promises about living righteously and holy? Have you, young people, made any promises to God about coming to the wedding altar, the marriage altar, pure? Man, God's given you, in some cases, Christian dad, Christian mom, Bible teaching, Bible instruction, blessed you. Have you made any promises to God as a young lady and as a young man? And you are one or the other. You are not a mixture. Like California would have us believe. Okay? Have you made any promises to God concerning, Lord, I want to live so that when I walk down the aisle or stand at the altar, my bride comes down the aisle, or when I am the bride and I'm walking down the aisle, I am clean and pure, possessing my virginity which you gave me at birth. Have you made God any promises? Have you made God any promises about alcohol? Have you made God any promises about drugs? Have you made God any promises about your eyes? I won't look upon a maid. I won't gaze on the unclothed body of another human. I just don't think I should get around to be that specific. Why not? Why not? What have you promised God? What have you thought about in rendering back to God so that you can avoid being a consumer Christian, always taking, always using, always receiving, never producing? Have you made God any promises about family devotions at your house, about praying at the mealtime before you eat, about the entertainment that you will or will not be a part of? What are you rendering to God for all of his benefits to you? Folks, this is a fair question. Is it not? It's not an unreasonable question. Not at all. It's not out of line. It's not over the top. It is a reasonable question because God gives and gives and gives and gives, and we take and we take and we take and we take, sometimes consciously, sometimes subconsciously, and there comes a point where, hey, whoa, stop. I ought to avoid consuming all of God's goodness. I want to give something back to Him for all His blessings to me. What are you rendering to God for all His benefits? I don't expect. Look, some of you have been in church years. We're in church here when I came 23 years ago. A lot of you have been here for 20 years, and and 19 and 18 and 15 years. I don't think I've been unreasonable preaching from the pulpit what I believe God expects out of Christians. And I'm not expecting that you would devote as much time as a preacher or a full-time assistant pastor or other full-time worker to Bible study and to witnessing and to helping people. But I'm going to tell you something. I am surprised at the shallow level of dedication and commitment by some of God's people. It's as shallow as one person in the family gets sick and everybody stays home. Amen, Brother Angel. That's not real popular, but that's pretty good preaching. It's as shallow as we got one thing that comes up and we're going to blow off Sunday to go do this. Look, I'm not against vacation. I'm not against being gone for this and that. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Those ought to be limited numbers of times during the year. I am shocked at the shallow level. Where, when do God's people become concerned about rendering back? Well, I'll just do it in my way. I'm sorry, but there is a Bible way to render to the Lord and a Bible way not to. You find out what the Bible teaches and get plugged into something. God, find a way. I'm not expecting you to be a full-time Christian servant to keep the schedule I keep or the schedule these men keep. But goodness gracious, I like what Brother Hall said years and years ago. You may not be called to full-time Christian, a full-time service, but everybody is called to full-time Christianity. Amen. Everybody. What are you rendering to God? What are you rendering to God? What are you giving back? In light of all the benefits, in light of all the blessings, in light of all the things that God provides, have you ever stopped to look at your life and say, okay, you know what? I am the recipient, the consumer, the taker of all of these blessings, but what am I doing? What am I giving back? How am I producing in my life to bring honor and glory to God? That's a fair question. And one that needs to be addressed. We're all upset about the drain on our nation economically because of the consumers. And rightly so. Then we do the same thing spiritually. Come on, do the same thing spiritually. We take and take and take and take and take. Now look, you're going to have to decide, and I've never been ugly about this, but I've never shied away from it. You're going to have to decide for yourself if one trip to church a week is sufficient for rendering to God because of His benefits. Figure it out. If you're happy with that, then that's between you and God. Personally, I just feel like He's worthy of a little bit more than that. So that makes me feel uncomfortable. That's part of what's missing in churches today. The Word of God is supposed to challenge us. It's supposed to make us feel uncomfortable. It's supposed to make us go, oh man, oh. What is it supposed to do sometimes? Sure. You've got to figure it out. You've got to figure it out. If never giving out a gospel tract, never talking to your neighbor at home, never talking to your coworker at work is sufficient repayment for all of God's benefits and blessings, you've got to figure it out. Amen. That's a fair question. And by the way, don't think that nobody witnesses at work. Oh, yes, I visited with a couple yesterday, and the man gave testimony to the fact that he witnesses at work. He could even tell you about the faith of his coworkers because they've discussed it. Oh, yes. Take a Bible, throw it on your desk. Oh, that'll identify me. That's right. Yeah. That's a fair question. What shall I render to God? Well, I've got to finish. I'm impressed by this man's desire to give something back. But there's a second thing I'm impressed about this morning. I am impressed that the psalmist was wanting, I don't miss this, to give something in return to the best person. What shall I render unto the Listen very carefully, folks. I am very thankful for all the people that God has used to bring me where I am spiritually. I'm thankful for my family, including my parents and my two grandmothers. My grandpas were both already in heaven by the time I got saved. But my grandmothers, oh my goodness, you talk about an encouragement to this old boy. When I first got saved, Grandma Angel and Meemaw Allen, oh, they would rejoice. They wrote me letters. They encouraged me. I am so thankful for them. I am thankful for Mike Hagee. I am very thankful for Mike Hagee, and it has been the joy of my life in the last year and a half or so to correspond with the man who is in prison because he made some bad mistakes. He was the one who won me to Christ, had the boys home, took me in, showed me at an altar how to be saved, and led me to Lord Jesus Christ and taught me so much. I am so thankful for Mike Hagee's influence in my life. So thankful. I'm thankful for Pastor Strickland, who preached the gospel to me. I am thankful for Pastor Brown, who preached to me for 10 years and loved my family and loved my wife and children. I'm thankful for the preachers and teachers at Bible College, scores of preachers that I have heard preach in pulpits. I'm thankful for Tony Keelan, who was in the church there in Calvary, Graysville, Tennessee, who took me under his wing and taught me how to win souls. I'm thankful for Jim Vineyard, who took interest in me when I knew nobody at Bible College. He took an interest in me. I am thankful for my father-in-law, John Christner. I am thankful for my brother-in-laws who encourage me. I am thankful for people. I'm thankful for the people here at this church who challenge me in my Christianity. But I want to say again, I am thankful for all the people that God has used. And that ultimately, He ultimately is the one that we should want to render our service toward and render our worship toward and render our praise toward, friend, because people are just the conduit. People are just the channel. People are just the tools that God uses. Should we not be thankful for the people, for the persons? Oh yeah, we should be thankful for the people. We should be thankful for the persons. I am hoping beyond hope that someday if God, Jesus stays in heaven long enough that Mike Hagee gets to stand here and I get to say to you, church, this is the man that you've heard about for all of these years. Because I'm thankful for the impact he had on my life. But God used him. God put him in place. And God used Pastor Brown. And God used my father-in-law. And God used Jim Vineyard. And God used Pastor Strickland. And God used my grandparents. And you know what, friend? When I am really looking to show thanks and appreciation, the one I really need to show appreciation and thanks to is none other but God Himself. Who do you come to church for? Who do you come for? Well, I like Brother So-and-so and I like Pastor. You know, I'm glad Brother So-and-so and Pastor So-and-so and Friend So-and-so. I'm not against all that. But ultimately, friend, if you don't want to be a consumer Christian, you've got to give back to the source. The source. If the preaching of God's Word is a blessing and a help to you, look, I am not the source. He is the source. All I am is the conduit. I'm the messenger. He said, I love Brother Caleb. So did I. I enjoyed him, but I didn't come to church for Caleb Hansen. And I mean him, no disrespect. I love him, as I said a couple times with my own son sitting here. I love him real close to son, being a son. But I didn't come to church for Caleb. I didn't go soul winning for Caleb. I don't read my Bible for my parents. I don't read my Bible for Mike Hagee. I read my Bible. I come to church. I give a gospel tract. I knock on a door. I pray. I try to live a holy life for Him. I love the Lord. Who do you love? And I realize I'm saying that. And when I say I love the Lord, I can never claim to love Him like I should completely. But my family is sitting here this morning. They see me places and circumstances you don't. I hope my life says I love the Lord. I owe everything to Him. Are you with me this morning? So, well, by the way, you say, well, man, Caleb invited me, or Brother Bragg invited me. You know, I'm glad. Pastor, you invited me. You won me to Christ. That's wonderful. But at some point, folks, our service and our level of commitment, dedication has to transcend people. Y'all with me this morning? And be tied into Him. Listen to what Paul said in Colossians 3, verses 23 through 24. Listen to these words. He said, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily to the Lord, and not unto men. Why do you come to Sunday night church? Who do you come for? Who do you come for on Wednesday? Who do you pass out a tract for? As unto the Lord and not unto men. Here's why. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That's who we're serving. And He uses men to challenge us, and He uses men as an example. And ladies, He uses people to motivate us. He uses people sometimes to introduce us to biblical truth. But when it's all said and done, everything we owe is to Him. Y'all get that? We owe it to Him. I don't think I'm alone in this. I get my belly full of American citizens who are consumers. I get my belly. You say, you're carnal. You ought not be that way. I get my belly full when I see their grocery carts filled with nicer things than I can buy. Why you ought not feel that way? You're probably right. I guess I'm just carnal. And I'm concerned about our nation. Because the underbelly of takers is growing. And part of our own government's policies are creating it. But of greater concern is a Christian who is a consumer. Wonderful life. Whoa. At what point do I stop taking? Start giving. Avoiding consumer Christianity. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I appreciate your attention, and I hope that you'll ponder, think on this today. The Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts right now. In fact, we'll pray about that. Heavenly Father, I pray that Your Word will find good ground to fall on in our hearts this morning. Oh, how good You've been. How many benefits. Lord, at some point we have to start thinking about giving back. To help us, I pray, touch our hearts. And Lord, when we give back, help us to give back to You, for You. Because of You. Because from You, all the benefits come. God, thank You.